My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Here we go!
You're listening to the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 101 of the Emerald Flow Show. We're a podcast on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can follow us on X and on Blue Sky. Leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts or any other podcasting app. And if you want to donate to the show, you can go to voicesofwrestling.com/donate to do that. And it's greatly appreciated. I'm Gerard, back with Paul. Paul, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I just recorded an episode of Wrestling Omakase with John Carroll yesterday. So this is my second day in a row where I'm podcasting.
Okay.
I literally just clocked out of work like 5 minutes ago, not going to lie. I literally clocked out of work and then ran over here.
Well, since you were on another podcast, I mentioned this last time, but I did record my episode with Alan on the Pro Wrestling Paradise, which is available on the PW Torch podcast network, and we talked for Katsuhiko Nakajima for 2 hours, and it was a lot of fun, and we went over his whole career and a lot of missed possibilities, and I reiterated my belief that I wish he would come back to All Japan, although I did say I think him going to popping up in 01 is the second best option right now, at least given the current state of wrestling in Japan.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm curious what he's going to do. I mean, did you see that Bushi was also sniffing around 01 as well?
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes. But that, do you really think that's going to be Bushi and Ryusei? There's no way that Naito's going to work 01.
No. Yeah, no. I don't think Naito's going to work. I don't think Naito's going to get up and get out to Shinkiba first ring. I don't think there's any chance
that. Do you think they'll do have someone in that mask that's supposed to be Naito but not actually?
And you think they're gonna put the Ryusei thing again where he's under the mask?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, is it Naito that's coming to Shinkiba? It's like, no, it's not. It's Ryusei.
yeah, that's interesting. But again, I can't fault 01 for having using Ryusei and Bushi actually at all.
No. Also, I just realized I don't think Naito can even get down those steps in Shinkiba. Like, those are some pretty steep, like, stairs to, like, get down to the ring, like, to get down from the stage.
In other news of older washed-up wrestlers popping up in strange places, Shima, it looks like he's had Osaka Pro. Your thoughts on this one?
I don't know. I kind of like that one. Like, it feels like a homecoming for him, right?
So is Gamma coming out of retirement? He's got to be for this, right?
Probably, yeah. I mean, there's no way. There's no way Gamma's like, yeah, I'm going to get that. I mean, here's the thing. Do you think that's still, like, a show that can draw some money, like, the, like, eventual, like, Shima retirement show? Because we can't be that far off from it, right? Like, I think even he probably has to admit that, like, the end is close and it's probably, like, time to cash out now as much as he still can, which I don't know, like, is that still, like, is that something you could even run in, like, the bigger Edeon arena?
Oh, the bigger one. I don't know. But the thing is, like, yeah, I mean, you could sell at Korakuen with it. But obviously, do you want to do it in Kansai region, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, like, you want to do it in Kobe or, like, in Osaka.
So,
yeah.
But the thing is, Osaka doesn't really have, like, a 1,500, 2,000 seater, right? You've got Edeon 2, which is, like, 1,000 if you pack them in there. And then, you know, obviously, Edeon 1 seems too big for Shima's retirement show, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah. That
maybe not
have, yeah.
10 years ago, but today, yes.
Yeah. That's the other thing.
In 2018, like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Like, that's the thing. Like, I think he's one of those guys that just, like, missed that window of when he should have retired.
It's not even that he missed the window. It's just that he made himself irrelevant.
Yeah, that too, yeah. Which is weird. Like, again, if you told somebody, like, 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, that, like, yeah, we're not sure if the, like, Shima retirement show is going to be a big money draw, they would look at you really weird because they would think you're insane.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. But, like, him and Osaka Pro, you know, like, I think that's, again, like, I think that's the other promotion that is, like, you know what, in terms of, like, the promotions that are doing really well right now in Japan, it seems to be, like, all of the, like, you know, like, secondary to, like, tertiary row, like, promotion, like, Osaka Pro, Zero One, Kyushu Pro, that are all, like, kind of just quietly chugging along and doing pretty well. I guess maybe that's why they are doing well, because they get less scrutiny.
Well, I was going to say, do you think they're doing well or they're just offering basic meat and potatoes wrestling when everyone's having heel units run in?
Yes, I think that is actually the reason, to be honest. But, like, I don't even know if Kyushu Pro even has heels. Like, they kind of have some people that lean heelish, but I don't think they really have out-and-out heels.
I certainly think, though, I mean, I think 0-1, from what I've seen, and I've seen most of it but not all of it, it's good, solid meat and potatoes wrestling with the whole story of Hayabusa and Junya, who they seem to be really willing to actually make a main eventer, which didn't feel like necessarily the case in the last 0-1 version of 0-1.
No.
But it seems like that's going there now.
I mean, I also feel like Junya has improved as well.
I think, for sure.
I don't think, like, they didn't really try with him, like, last time around, but it's also, like, I don't think he really felt like he was ready for that at that point, because, like, he's not a charisma machine now, but it was pretty dire, like, 2-3 years ago. And, like, now I think he's, like, he's always been a good wrestler, but, like, I think now he's at least, like, figured out how to do, like, project somewhat, like, credibly as, like, a main event guy.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you watched, or shall we just... Oh! Paul, I forgot. Sorry. Mm-hmm. You're going to Carrot this weekend.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to Carrot this weekend. Leaving in 2 days.
What's going on in Oberhausen?
So I bought tickets. I bought myself a ticket for the tournament shows. And then I'm not really planning to go to, like, because there's a bunch of, like, shows around it as well. So, like, in theory, I could have, like, gone to, like, way more. Like, in theory, actually, the first show is today. There's, like, a show in the academy. But yeah, so I'm going to do the tournament, and then I'm going to do Ambition as well. So looking forward to that one. And I mean, I think, like, the first round sounds pretty good. Like, you have Yamato versus Axel Tischer on that. You have Ares versus Peter Tihani. I think that should be a good match. I am somewhat morbidly curious how Naito's going to do. Like, they gave him, like, a technical, like, wrestler, like Dieter Schwarz, in the first round. So that should keep, like, most of the match, like, on the ground, which should hopefully help Naito. We'll see. You have Thomas Shire with Chihiro Hashimoto. That one I'm kind of curious for, like, those two, like, just kind of throwing each other around the ring should be fun. And then for Ambition, you have, like, the you have Bobby Guns with Chris Ridgeway. You have the return. Like, I don't know. I don't think you know, like, Sasha Kiel. Like, I don't think you were watching WXW at that time, right? Like, because he was, like, a guy there, like, 10 years ago. Yeah, he's, like, a tall, like, Croatian guy who kind of, like, semi-retired a couple of years ago because he got, like, a new job. But I always enjoy this stuff, so I'm happy to, like, see him back. You also have, like, Minoru Suzuki on the show, as well as, like, Katsuya Murashima as well from New Japan. So, yeah, no, I think those shows would be fun. And then, like, whatever else happens with the tournament should be pretty good as well. And you have the, like, Elijah Bloom versus one called Mandas title match, which, I don't know. I don't get Elijah Bloom, so I'm really gonna root for, like, one called Mandas. But I think Mandas is really good. So, I don't know. At the very least, I think it should be a good match and both should be motivated. So, I am really looking forward to it. Like, Carrot, like, as the, like, song goes, it's like Carrot is only, like, once a year. Karat is no einmal im Jahr. So, it's always a good time at the very least.
All right. So, we'll have a review of that on our next episode. So we move on to Noah, that just completed their junior tag league this year over a number of shows, and we talked about the tournament last episode. But Paul, before we dive in, some big picture ideas. How did you feel about this tournament? Because I have some thoughts.
I thought it was solid overall. I think the outcome was very predictable, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, right? Like, it felt pretty obvious from the beginning that it was gonna lead to, like, the brothers facing, like, the betrayed brothers facing off with the betrayer brothers in the final.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I don't think it was, like, a spectacular tournament. There was some stuff in it that I liked. Like, I like True and Lacey in it overall. I thought those two were doing fine. I think Dragon Bane and Alejandro have actually become a pretty good team. I think Kai Fujimura is absolute dog shit as a heel.
Yeah, he's not very good.
I think Alpha Wolf is though. So, like, that team was, like, really up and down. I was like, when Alpha Wolf was in there, I thought it was fine. Whenever Kai Fujimura was doing terrible heel work, I was like trying to restrain myself from, like, just fast forwarding. So I don't know. Yeah, I thought Ada it was a good.
I was gonna ask, what did you think of Ada and Inahata?
I don't know. Like, they were somewhat unmemorable to me.
I thought. Well, Ada was unmemorable. I thought Ada was showing some promise, especially at the final stretch of the tournament.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. But he's also not going to be a junior long term.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's way too tall for that. But yeah, no, I thought he was doing fine. Ada was just, like, a void basically the entire tournament. Like, he might as well just not have been there. I'm struggling to think of a single thing he did in any of the matches. Like, anything I remember from those matches are all, like, stuff Inahata did.
Well, I mean, I also got to say, though, once I started getting into the last couple of block shows, I mean, it was getting long in the tooth because you got two team 2000X teams going in this tournament. Yeah. And I can't handle this.
It got very samey. It got very, very samey.
I can't, I don't know. This is just really bringing any enjoyment of Noah down, because I just know that what all this is.
I mean, yeah, I'm still not sure how long. I don't know. I think we're in for some changes. Like, it feels at least they're moving them out of, like, the main title picture. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm still somewhat afraid they're gonna put Kenno in there, but, like, I don't know. That feels such a, like, it feels like such a dumb move.
Oh, a turn at the next Yokohama.
Yeah.
Little Yokohama shock.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's going to win either way.
Yeah, well,
we'll get to that. We'll get to that, yeah.
We'll get to that. But yeah,
it was like them having two teams and they just made this, like, very overwhelming. At least they kept, like, True and Lacey as, like, faces throughout the tournament.
Mm-hmm. And would you give Dog and Odashima the team of the tournament?
It's got to be them or Dragon Bane and Alejandro.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I'm really looking forward to that title match. I think that should be tremendous. But yeah, I'm really, like, I guess maybe because Dragonbane and Alejandro were the like newer teams, so maybe I'm gonna give them the slight edge. But like, yeah, no, Daiki and Daga have just become like a really fucking good team now. Like they just like click insanely well.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, I'm really looking forward to this next big Noah show compared to some of their big shows lately because of making decisions like of having like Bane and Alejandro win this tournament instead of Wolf and Fujimura.
Yeah. Or yeah. Like, because to me, like the outside one would have been like they like basically the brothers like eliminate each other or whatever, and then we get like Jun Masaoka and Tarasuke or something. Like, ugh. Although I think they just, yeah, no. But yeah, no, I'm looking for, because it's like the first show in a long time where like I don't think Team 2000X is in like any like prominent spot or even like a title match, right?
Yeah.
Like they just have like, yeah, they just have like 2 8-man tags. It's like that takes up like all of like Team 2000X. And then otherwise, mm-hmm. all of the like notable matches all like don't involve them at all.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice change.
I mean, they also don't hold any titles right now.
Yeah. No. Wolf's
got Wolf got the national title. Yeah. Yeah. I forgot about that. But like, other than that, like, he's the only one. So I don't know. Like, it does feel like they're getting downcycled a little bit, but who knows how long that's gonna stick.
Yeah. Oh, there'll be angles on the next show.
For sure. Like, I really hope that they don't do like some. I don't know. Maybe somebody turns. We'll see. But yeah, who knows? I mean, we get Null back, so that's nice.
Yes, the big Null return. So we'll just dive in quickly. Because this does, I mean, it's a solid tournament, but it does get repetitive. But on the 20th at Hiroshima Industrial Hall, East Exhibition Hall, in front of 398 fans, you had Alpha Wolf and Kai Fujimura defeating Amasuka and Black Mesa Rain 355. You can imagine what that was like.
Yes. That was a lot of cheating.
Mark True and Kieran Lacey defeating Tadasuke and Jun Masaoka at 11:15 with the Black Plague on True on Masaoka. Again, you could expect how that was. Dragon Bane and Alejandro defeated Ada and Katsumi Inahata in 10:13 with the zero gravity from Alejandro on Inahata. I actually thought that this was a nice little solid match. But Ada is completely like just the mysterious, like I don't remember him and anything like that.
I mean, we're very firmly back into Ada does not give a single shit territory.
Yeah. And then because if he did, they could have been like a sleeper team of the tournament, no question, right?
Oh, yeah. That's kind of what I had them packed as. And then, yeah, Ada just was just like, yeah, I'm just not going to... I'm going to show up physically, but not mentally.
Yeah. Atsushi Kotoge and Hiroki defeated Daga Deki Odashima in 12:34 with the inside cradle from Hiroki on Daga. An upset there, at least with Hiroki pinning Daga. And I actually thought this was a nice little match.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I do think it was necessary, right, to like...
Yeah.
That loss in I just can't. I'm just gonna call him Daga and Daiki. I can't remember what they're called. It's too close to Los Ingobernables. Yeah. That's the problem.
Solo defense on some small show against these guys. I bet.
Yeah. Oh, I can definitely see that. I would say Alejandro and Alejandro and Dragon Bane have a chance at least. But Daga and Daiki are so good. Just give him a long run. Like, you really want to establish Daiki.
Well, I guess we'll get to this now. But, like, Alejandro and Bane don't need to win the titles because they vanquished their evil brothers already. That's the story.
True. You know what? You're right. Yeah. Let's just keep it on Daga and Daiki. Their run is too good. Just keep it on them.
Yeah.
And then so you can do like Yokohama Radiant Hall show, like main evented with like this, the rematch of this match.
Yeah. And then on the 21st at Sendai Sun Arena, the sub arena, that's a mouthful. And that was in front of 377 fans. I would just like to add that I did enjoy Masaki Kitamita beating up Yudo Koi Naga and winning with the Stranglehold Gamma.
Yeah, I mean, that was fun. That was like a little bit of like the old Masaki Tamiya.
Yeah. You know, it's fun when the rookies are in against the guys like that. So to start off in the junior tag league, we had Mark True and Kieran Lacey defeating Ada and Katsumi Inahata in 8:32 with the Black Flag from Lacey and Inahata. Again, I really liked generally Inahata's showing as this tournament went on. But again, it's not particularly memorable, A, because it's short, and B, because Ada didn't really do anything.
Yeah.
And then in the next one was Dragon Bane and Alejandro defeating Amasuka and Black Menso Ray in 9:05 with the Twister Bane from Bane on Menso Ray. And Paul, I got to say, I think Amasuka and Menso Ray did perform better than you might think they would, because, yeah, they started off as the joke as the tournament started. But then, like, they sort of got serious towards the end of this tournament.
Yeah. Like, I think you definitely saw that, like, especially, like, on the final show where they didn't have a league match anymore. Mm-hmm. But, like, that one was basically just, like, Black Manta Ray, like, wrestling, like, the entire match, like, seriously, more or less.
Yeah.
Which, again, he's really good at. Like, I would just remind people that, like, no, he is a really good wrestler, and he's given a chance mm-hmm. to do that.
Even though he had, like, the worst feud of last year.
Oh, God. I mean, yes. I mean, he's not going to win. Like, you know what? Regardless of what happens, he's not going to win worst feud this year, because no. That will go to Gaja Dokoro as Sai Patra, because that feud is awful.
You don't think Aaron Wolf versus House of Torture is worthy of that worst feud?
I mean, at least in that feud, you have a very clear person you can cheer for, which is Aaron Wolf, which does not exist in that feud, in the Sai Patra Gaja Dokoro feud. Dragon Gate just expects you to be like, these guys are both heels, but you're supposed to cheer for Sai Patra, despite the fact that you have no reason to do so.
And then the next...
It's basically, you know what? Like, you know, this actually quite literally, because it's quite literally like, they like Sai Patra sides with Team 2000X. Like, they bring Team 2000X guys to fight with them. Why the fuck am I supposed to cheer for these guys? Like, what?
Yeah, weren't Team 2000X on the they were on the Dragon Gate show.
Yeah.
Well, and they won.
Yeah, they weren't very good.
So next up, we had Alpha Wolf and Kai Fujimura defeating Atsushi Kotoke and Hiroki in 7:20 with the Wolf Driver from Wolf on Hiroki. This is what exactly you'd expect it was, but at least, hey, it was like short. It went under half of the allotted time limit, so fine. Daga and Daiki Odoshima defeated Tadasuke and Jun Masaoka in 9:23 when Odoshima pinned Tadasuke with the Rolling Olympic Hell. Or was it Daga that pinned Tadasuke after Odoshima hit the Rolling Olympic Hell?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, I'm just reading the...
this is written up very confusingly by poor Olof.
Yes. I don't remember the end of this match. But I did think that this was actually one of the better Team 2000X outings in this tournament, because Odoshima is just such a great baby face.
It just sold his ass off on this.
Yeah. Then on the 22nd, we had the Grand Messe Kumamoto D Hall in front of 540 fans. Also, again, Koyanaki getting beat up by the older wrestlers. That Ozawa match was all kind of fun, I have to say.
That actually, yeah, no, I will agree. Although, is Ozawa even that much older? I'm trying to think. Like, I think that isn't Yuto was the one that was a bit older than the others, right? I don't remember
quite yet. He might be. One of them
I
is.
I think they're only 1 year apart. But yeah, he's technically older. No, he's definitely more experienced.
Yeah, he's 25 years old. And Ozawa's got to be...
Ozawa's like 27. He's 29. Okay, he's a bit older.
Yeah, he's older. He's turning 30 this year. Wow.
Okay, Gerard, we need to like get him on the like 30. I mean, he's probably going to make it anyway, but we need to get him on the 30 under 30 list. This is his last shot.
He started kind of old.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that old, but you know what I mean. Once you get in your it's a little different, but he started, he would have been like 26 when he started.
Yeah, because he started in 2022.
Right, he's only 1 year younger than Yuma Aoyagi,
who has been around forever. Yeah,
yeah. Well, he's not around now.
he's not around now. Yeah, where the fuck? Wasn't his suspension only supposed to last? Okay, we'll get to that later, I guess. But like, wasn't his suspension only until like mid February? Like, we're like 2 weeks after that now. He's nowhere to be seen.
Maybe he's in big trouble, bigger trouble than we think. I don't know. So when we get into tag league matches, we had Mark True and Kieran Lacey defeating Atsushi, Kotoge, and Hiroki in 10 minutes. The black flag from True on Hiroki. Again, solid match. And then we had Alpha Wolf and Kai Fujimura defeating Ada and Katsumi Inahata in 5:41 with a death hanger from Fujimura on Inahata, which was the old Golazo. Nothing. it was nothing. And then Tadasuke and Jun Masaoka defeated Dragon Bane and Alejandro in 9:09 with the Tadasuke Crash 2 from Tadasuke on Alejandro, which kind of made sense that they, the other team, 2000X team, would beat Bane and Alejandro in all of this. And again, it was like what you think it was. And then Daga Deki Odashima defeated Amasuka and Black Mensa Ray in 12:03 with the cradle from Daga on Mensa Ray. And that was a lot of fun. This is
I thought this was really good. Yeah,
Mensa Ray is and Amasuka are stepping up.
Yeah, no, like this again was like Black Mensa Ray just being like, no, like you can literally feel it. But like throughout the tournament, it's like no, wait, I'm actually a serious wrestler. Like as he kept on losing more matches, he got more and more serious, basically. And he was like, no, wait, I'm not a loser. Like I can do more than just comedy. I can actually win matches. And you could like see the desperation, like basically build up. And then I thought that was actually one of the best like things they did in the tournament, where they like slowly built that up, basically.
And then we go to the last block day at Akros Fukuoka Event Hall in front of 559 fans. For the tag league, we had Ada and Katsumi Inahata with scoring the upset over Atsushi Kotoge and Hiroki in 8:11 when Inahata pinned Hiroki. And Paul, what I loved about this is that they actually had someone lose when they did the "I'm going to pin you" directly after already trying to pin you again to tire you out. But Inahata pin on Hiroki, and I was like, "Yeah, that's great. That's a great one."
Yeah, that's also like you kind of want to do that at least every once in a while, so like stays believable. And I think this is like the like perfect time to do it. Also, was that like Inahara's like first like pin that he got in Noah? Trying to think if he got like a pin over a rookie.
Oh, he might have.
Maybe. I don't remember off the top of my head, but like definitely like the first pin over a non-rookie for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And then we had Amasuka and Black Mensa Ray defeating Tadasuke and Jun Masaoka in 6:12 with the Passion Ground Cobra from Amasuka on Masaoka. And I will say that it was kept short and completely inoffensive. And then Alpha Wolf and Kai Fujimura defeated Mark True and Kieran Lacey in 8:26 with a package pile driver from Wolf on Lacey. And honestly, like, you could have given just a couple more minutes. But
yeah, no, this was actually quite good.
Yeah. And then they got the main event spot because this is basically the decision match of who else is going to go to the finals against the Team 2000X team of Fujimura and Alpha Wolf. Dragon Bane and Alejandro defeated Daga and Deki Odashima in 12:53 with the zero gravity from Alejandro on Odashima. And Paul, the biggest problem with this match is that it could have used another 5 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, but here's the thing, Gerard. It will get that additional 5 minutes on the
title match. And also I think that they're just going to retain the titles instead of drop
them. Yeah. No, you know what? You're right. Yeah, because they got the win here. So like, they don't need to win 2 matches in a row. Yeah. No, you know what? You've talked me into like Daga and Daiki. Just like I was basically 60-40 beforehand on like Daga and Daiki retaining, but now I'm more like 80-20.
Mm-hmm. And then,
this was a great, like this felt like a preview essentially. Like it was a great match, but it was essentially just a preview for hopefully an even greater match.
So then we go to Corken Hall on March 1st in front of 1,396 fans. We had in the opening match sort of like the Noah Junior Tag League Extra Edition. So we had Amasuka and Black Mensa Ray defeating Ada and Katsumi Inahata in 7:44 with another Passion Ground Cobra, this time from Mensa Ray on Inahata. And this is a nice little opener.
Yeah, this was awesome, honestly. Like, again, this paid off, like, the whole, like, story of, like, Mensa Ray. Like, again, the entire time he was trying to get the pin, right? Like, and he never could do it the entire, like, league. And then he actually finally pulls it off here. And, like, the way, like, he celebrated after the match, like, he just won the world title. Like, it was nice.
Kenta, Tetsuya, Endo, and Hayata defeated Daga, Deki Odashima, and Midori Takahashi in 10:15 with a modified chicken wing arm lock from Hayata on Takahashi. Perfectly acceptable 6-man, I'd say.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I said this as well on Omakase, like, right, Raven squad just feels like completely lost in the shuffle already.
Yes.
Right? Like, absolutely. In theory, you make a new faction for, like, the people in it that get something to do. But it feels like all three, like the three that are still, like, one of them immediately, like, left to go to the US. And now the other three are just, like, completely spinning their wheels and are just, like, irrelevant, essentially. But, like, all three of them were, like, pretty, like, notable people just last year. And now they're just, like, I don't know, just bodies on the roster is what they feel like.
Yeah, it's a bizarre, because they also, like, they clearly formed that group knowing full well that, like, Uka was going to, like, the States.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, which, like, interestingly, he has, like, apparently, like, deleted the tweets of him at the Performance Center.
Oh, he had tweets at him at the Performance Center and deleted them?
I mean, apparently, like, I didn't That's even, funny. Like, get there in time.
I didn't see them, yeah. Knows. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if there's, like, a general weirdness going on with, like, Noah trainees right now. Because, like, for example, GWF had, like, a show this past Sunday. So, like, 3 days ago. And I didn't end up going because I did this, like, I did this thing called hanging out with your friends instead. but, like, originally announced for that match, for that show was, I don't remember, is it Kuga? I think it was Owada-san's, like, new name is right now.
Yeah.
But originally they announced him because he's the Berlin champion right now. Like, they announced him versus Jack Morris for the Berlin title. But then that tweet got deleted, and that match didn't happen either.
Maybe there was, like, a booking thing.
They had Jack Morris versus Jack Morris versus Peter Tahani instead.
Interesting.
So who knows? I don't know. Like, these could be completely unrelated, but it is notable that, I don't know, there was some weirdness with two Noah people on excursion, like, within the same week, essentially.
Hmm. And so next up was Bushi and Angel Reyes defeating Shuji Kondo and Yuta Koyanagi at 9:15 with the suplex cutter from Reyes on Koyanagi. Not particularly memorable.
Nope.
I think so.
I will say Angel Reyes looked nervous, but I think he got better as the match went along.
Yeah. And then Ozawa, Masa Kitamiya, Tadasuke, and Jun Masaoka defeated Tsuchi Kitoge, Mohamed Yone, Hiroki, and Hanjime Ohara in 10:33 with the swan dive style moonsault press from Ozawa on Ohara. This was just obviously just to give Ozawa some heat going into it. Do you think that Ozawa's spinning his wheels at all?
I mean, they did kind of do, like, one promo where, like, Ozawa was kind of teasing, feuding with Naito.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's basically where they're, like, essentially spinning his wheels until they're, like, ready to pull the trigger on that. Which, so, like, the thing, the way I see this going is Kenno beats Inamura. And then because it's Kenno, he's going to, like, more or less immediately, maybe, like, one title defense, maybe a zero title defense, we'll see. Like, he's going to then lose the title to Naito. Yeah. And then I think they're probably pretty quickly going to Ozawa versus Naito. Because you can't have Naito hold the title very long. Like, because his body will just not allow that.
Do you think you string that out to... I mean, if you're going to have Naito versus Ozawa, you kind of got to do that at Budokan, right?
Yeah, but you can't have Naito hold the title for, like, 6 months.
Well, you could draw the Kenno reign a little longer.
I mean, they should. Like, I and would be all in thing. Favor of a lengthy Kenno reign.
Does Naito sit out the N1 then?
I mean, from a drawing perspective, he shouldn't. But, like, I don't think he can do the N1. Like, I just don't think his body is able to. So, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, if he's champion, you can at least have, like, the whole argument where he's like, oh, like, because, right, that happens every once in a while in other promotions as well. Where, like, the champion is like, oh, I'm going to sit out this tournament because I am the champion and I want to see, like, who challenges me. So, like, yeah, I could see that where they might go for that.
Yeah, we'll see. And then the All Rebellion Final Triangle Three-Way match, Galeno defeated Kaito Kiyomiya and Harutoki in 7:46 with the Wagner Driver on Harutoki. And I like this just for what it was. It's a quick little sprint and obviously building to the big Galeno versus Kaito match. Although with the result of this, I feel confident that WWE is not going to make Noah have Galeno go over.
Yeah, no. I also feel that. It's also, I mean, talking about factions that are just like spinning their wheels and are just lost in a shuffle, yeah. Like All Rebellion. Again, yep. Supposed to rebuild Kaito Kiyomiya's career, and Kaito feels more relevant than he ever has in his entire career.
Yeah, well, it's just confusing because like they do these things and they because how long was Kenno even in All Rebellion?
Like a month and a half, feels like. Maybe a bit. I think he was in there a bit longer. I think he was in there until like May. Like they formed in like January, February, right? And he was in there until like May, I think.
Mm.
I think.
Just felt like once
actually,
he left.
Now I'm actually not sure.
Yeah. It was fun when it was like Kenno and Kaito together, but then it just
kind
of lost some luster.
And right. That was the whole point. That was the whole point of the faction was that it's Kenno and Kaito together and like the inherent like tension that came out of that, of them being like long-term rivals that are now
and don't forget faction. Of course they finally had that other match when they did the Iron Man match. Now that was an awesome match, one of my 10 best of the year, but it was still like they had made it making you think that there weren't going to be another match between them at least for a long time.
Okay, so they formed a lot early. They did actually form in October 2024.
Okay.
For some reason, I thought they had formed in early 2025. But yeah, they formed in October 2024. And then, unfortunately, on Cage Match, it just says Kenno left the stable in 2025. Oh, yeah, no, of course they had to have formed in 2024 because Ozawa was a member for, like, right? Like, did it the whole thing where he came back, got injured, joined the faction, and then turned on them immediately when he was healthy again.
Yeah. Well, it did give him the crutch gimmick.
Yeah, which for some, at first I was like, oh, how long is he going to keep this up? But then he got another reason to keep this going. Like, at this point, I don't know if he's ever going to drop it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, wait, no, they formed all the way back in, like, May of 2024.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought they formed in 2025, yeah. Like, at least Cage Match had this as their, like, first match.
Right.
Which is where Noah did a great job of establishing this new faction by having them lose to Eita, Ryohei Oiwa, Shuji Kondo, and Ulka Sasaki. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's time to just put All Rebellion out of its misery. Like, now that I know it's been around for even longer than I thought it was, like, it's like we're getting up on 2 years and like it's probably time to call it.
Yeah. And so next up, we had Tetsuya Naito and Ryusei defeating Manabu Soi and Hiroto Tsuruya in 10:15 with the crab hold from Ryusei on Tsuruya. And Paul, is this a hot take to say this is the best match that Naito has had in Noah?
Well, yeah, but that's also because he like wasn't in there for most of it.
Yeah, and it was mostly Ryusei and Tsuruya who are obviously the two hot prospects as well, right? Like, Soya didn't barely do anything either.
Yeah.
Right? But like,
It was his best effort, yes.
Is going to get a push because he's Naito's boy. And Tsuruya is clearly there. Also, it seems like Noah's sort of guy that they're focusing on of this crop of rookies. So that they did all the work and basically made it into Naito's best match in Noah so far.
Yeah. I don't think Tsuruya even has taken that many pins as well. So, no. Like, as much as it is notable to pin a rookie, this was probably one of the more notable ones to pin a rookie.
Well, I think that they should build to a Tsuruya versus Ryusei singles match and have like Tsuruya win that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, that technically Ryusei is also a young boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm not opposed to that. I think that actually would be a good idea, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then in the semi-main event, Kenno Naomichi Marufuji and Shuhei Taniguchi defeated Yoshiki Inamura, Mark True, and Kieran Lacey in 13:19 with the PFS from Kenno onto Lacey. And I thought this was a solid match. And I thought that Kenno and Inamura did a very good job of building to their match. And I know that people really hate the gimmick, but I still quite enjoy Inamura's in-ring work. And I'm actually quite excited for their match. Probably the most excited for anything I've been all year in Noah.
I mean, it should be good, right? Like, I don't think, again, unless they do something stupid. Like, I mean, we said the same thing with the like Alpha Wolf Dragon Bane match. So, like, that's the only way this could be bad, if they do something like that. Otherwise, like, if it's just a straight-up singles match, I think it's going to be...
Well, I mean, you can't discount that either of them would join Team 2000X. That's the thing,
okay,
right?
What would be the dumber decision? Would it be dumber to turn Inamura, or would it be dumber to turn Kenno?
I think it'd be dumber to turn Inamura.
Yeah.
Because that also clearly... That would also clearly slot Inamura below Ozawa instead of being rivals.
I mean, but then he joins the faction as champion. Like, it almost creates this, like, weird tension of, like,
yeah,
Ozawa being faction leader and, like, another guy being, like, champion. Like, that would also be weird. Yeah, yeah, it's just the all-around, it's the worst decision.
Yeah. And then Noah Jr. Tag League Finals, Dragon Bane and Alejandro defeated Alpha Wolf and Kai Fujimura in 2056 with the zero gravity from Alejandro on Fujimura. Now, look. This is a good match, but again, what did you like? It hit all the beats that you were going to expect in terms of ref getting pulled out of the ring, interference. Although I would say that I feel like, especially for the first 10, 15 minutes, this did not feel as heated as you'd think the brothers versus brothers would be.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It just wasn't quite as dramatic as I thought it could have been.
I mean, I did like the finishing sequence between Alejandro and Kai Fujimura. But I think what did hurt it is just the fact that Kai Fujimura is just not good as a heel. Right? Like, I think that's the problem. It's because also, like, Alpha Wolf and Kai Fujimura, like, Alpha Wolf is a little bit over as a heel. I don't think Kai is over as a heel at all. And I think that's really what hurt this match.
I popped when Mark Pickering on commentary called Yoshitatsu the former Bullet Club Hunter.
Yes, no, that is a great pull.
that is a great pull indeed. Remember when he was still wearing the Bullet Club Hunter tights in All Japan for a bit?
For like a while, like for way longer than it should have been, really.
And he had the Bullet Club logo in All Japan. That's so good.
I mean, like, on the other hand, I will say, like, as much as I'm annoyed with Team 2000X, this is still the best run Yoshitatsu has ever had.
I actually liked him as Kento's tag team partner, but
I mean, then again, he did actually have that weird chemistry with Suwama for a while.
Yeah, that eventually faded out because they had a match later and it wasn't very good.
Yeah, that was very good. That wasn't very good yet. I think we previewed it on here and I was like, well, these two have great chemistry, so it will be good. And then it wasn't. I was like, oh. And I think his run was over pretty quickly after that as well, because that was probably also All Japan being like, oh yeah, there's nothing left here. You can fuck off.
Yeah, there's nothing left in this tank. So let's preview the show that is going to be on Sunday, March 8th, starting at 3 p.m. Japan time, which means that I'll be able to watch it live, even if it's early here. So that's good. Paul, I'm going to, because this is very curious, given some of Noah's infamous attendances in this Yokohama Budokan. What do you think the show draws? Because there's no Naito on this show either, I might add.
I'm really not sure, like, because it's also, like, the people you would generally consider, like, the draws. Like, it's not even just that Naito isn't, right? Like, it's also, like, who are, like, the, I mean,
yeah.
Like, it's not just that Naito isn't in a drawing position. It's also that really, like, the other people that you would consider, like, the draws in the promotion aren't really in one. Like, Kaito. I guess Kaito is at least in a singles match, but it's, like, way down the card. Kenta and Ozawa are just, like, in an eight-man tag. I mean, I would say it's a really big test of, like, Inamura's drawing power.
Yes, for sure.
So, I don't, like, do we have kind of, like, a thing of, like, I mean, at least so far on the website, it does still show all every like category as available.
They got to break 1,000 though, right?
Yeah, no. They do have to at least break that. Okay, let me just really quickly check what E Plus is saying. If there's like the website, maybe it's just kind of showing it as like not that well yet. So maybe if I actually go to like the thing.
I always check Lawson when I'm looking up the ticket sales.
Oh, yeah, same. But it's just that if you're on the NOAA website and if you click on buy tickets, that's where it takes you. God damn it. The thing is down for maintenance. Never mind.
Okay, so I can tell I'm on Lawson here. Hmm? Paul's got four types of tickets. The Arena S seats are the most expensive at 12,000, and then the 10,000, and 7,000, and then 5,000.
Yeah.
Paul, nothing is sold out, and the Arena S and the Arena Tiered, the two most expensive tickets, both have triangles, and then the other ones are still the circles.
Oh, on Ticketpia, it looks even worse. They basically, they have Arena S and Arena A, are and the regular ones are all still on, like, circles, and then only Arena Tiered seats are on, like, only a few left. So this might be a bad number, unless they, like, manage to sell a bunch of tickets in, like, the next one, two, three, four days, basically. Well, no, it's already the fifth in Japan, so it's, like, even less time. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it definitely shows that, like, in a more, like, if that it ends up being a bad number, I think that's definitely a black mark on Inamura.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you can never tell. I mean, it's a walk, it's still very much a walk-up business in a lot of ways in Japan.
Yeah.
But if it was hot, if we knew it was really hot, then there would be more ticket movement for sure.
I mean, again, we still see that they still sell out, like, Korakuen. Well, not sell out, but they still drew out, like, really good, like, numbers in Korakuen still, yeah. Even with bad
even cards. Without, like, GHC title matches. I mean, this whatever it did, 1396, that's good for what this card was.
Exactly, yeah. It's, like, with, like, a junior title, like, with, like, a junior, like, match on top and everything.
Yeah.
And, like, no title match and everything. So that's still a good number for, like, what that show was, but I don't know. Like, I would like to see at least, like, the expensive seats on, like, triangles at least, which, I don't know. We'll see.
So the show on the 8th, we've got Atsushi Kotoke, Muhammad Yone, and Hajime Ohara versus Manabu Soya, Shuhei Taniguchi, and Midori Takahashi. And then the 8-man tag match was Alpha Wolf, Kai Fujimura, Tadasuke, and Jun Masaoka versus Ada, Kieran Lacey, Black Mansoure, and Katsumi Inabata. Naomichi Marufuji and Hiroyo Tsuruya versus Angel Reyes and Ryusei. Interesting.
So, I mean, it's interesting, like, because I'm actually not 100% certain on the result here. Like, normally I would say, well, Marufuji wins this, but I don't know. Like, I mean, realistically, it's probably Reyes that takes the pin here, but I can't really roll out, like, the LTJ, like, young boys getting a win here.
Well, I was going to say, could Tsuruya pin Ryusei and they trade wins, maybe?
Maybe, yeah. But I don't know. Like, I feel like with Marufuji in there, it's still just the most likely one that he gets the pin. And in that case, he's pinning Reyes. I don't think he's pinning Ryusei. Also, sorry, this is apropos of nothing, but, like, man, Ryusei needs to get, like, a different profile picture.
And
on the NOAH website, that too. But, like, that picture is awful.
I think he's got potential for in his work. He just has not a very good look.
Look right now, no.
he looks like he's an indie scummer. He looks like he is, like, working Dove Pro or something. You know.
Wait, he's from Mexico.
Ryusei?
Yeah.
Is he?
I mean, at least it says on the NOAH website that he's. That he's from Mexico City.
Oh, right, because he's Zimbido's son.
Oh, okay.
Right. And, of course, Yasuda's brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, just that sort of thing with the better look. And then it's crazy because Reyes is only, like, 20 years old.
Yeah, he's super young. Yeah. Yeah, I think he's turning 21 this year.
Yeah, we'll see with that. All right. Marufuji, how long do you think what percentage of the match do you think he's tagged in for? 20%? 15%?
I mean, I think he definitely will beat the shit out of Reyes. I'd say he's, like, I think 20-30, I think. 20-30% I think is a good guess.
Then an 8-man tag team match. Kenta, Tetsuya Endo, Hayata, and Yudo Koyanagi versus Ozawa, Masa Kitamiya, Takashi Sugera, and the returning Null. So I think Null's pinning Koyanagi.
Yes. Koyanagi. I have that feeling too.
That's Null's back. You got to give him a win, build him up for some momentum. I unironically like Null. I just think that as someone of his size, he moves pretty well. I mean, obviously, there's things he needs to work on, but he's also trained by Dustin Rhodes, so I can't, like, dismiss him, right? Because he's got that probably amazing training.
Yes. No. Like, I think there's potential there.
For sure. He should watch Talos tapes.
Yeah. Oh, kind of. Yeah, actually. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of Talos. Like, what if Talos could do, like, a fucking dive over the top rope?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Talos dives, but they're much more, restrained.
Yeah, he doesn't do Topa Suicidas.
Yeah, exactly. And then sort of the farewell match for Galeno, Kaito Kiyomiya versus Galeno, and it's confident that WWE is not going to make him win.
Yeah, I think he's just going to go out on his back here. Happy retirement to him.
Well, it's funny because on commentary on the Corican show, like Fulton and Pickering were saying, like, oh, Galeno and his brother will be back because they love Japan so much. We'll see about that.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I could see them come back eventually. I just don't think it's
going to be soon. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. And then for the GHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles, we got Doc and Daikyo Toshiba versus Dragon Bane and Alejandro, which has to be probably my second most anticipated match on the show. And frankly, it could, if they wanted to, might be able to steal the show.
I could definitely see that happen. Like, if they go like insane, then like, yeah, I can definitely see that being the match of the show.
And then for the GHC Junior Heavyweight Championship, we got Amasaka versus Mark True, which, you know what? Good. I like that. Give the guy the chance. Nice. Could be a nice little match. I mean, Amasaka is great and can carry him to this sort of thing. So I have no problem with this at all.
Mm-hmm. Is this one the most likely one where there's a turn or somebody joining Team 2000X?
Oh, like Lacey and True, or they split up with True and one of them joins?
I don't think they're going to split them up, but I could see them basically turn. Like, I was kind of happy that they weren't in Team 2000X, but I don't know. I can't rule it out that they're joining.
Yeah, just any match could. Like, we should just have chances of a turn in joining Team 2000X in this match. We know a match that doesn't have anyone in Team 2000X in it. It is what it is. And then, of course, the main event, Kenno versus Yoshiki Inamura for the GHC title, heavyweight title. I'm looking forward to it, and it could be awesome if they just let him do their thing. Or for all we know, Ozawa's going to like come to ringside at some point, you know?
Yeah. Did you click on the learn more button on the NOAH website under this match?
Yeah.
Because if not, do you want me to read out what it says there?
Yeah, read it out, Paul.
This championship match is the fulfillment of the champion's long-cherished wish. Yoshiki, who had been hoping to fight Kenno, has overcome repeated interference from Team 2000X to face Kenno. Kenno feels the same way. He has overcome repeated attempts to steal his challenge right to face Kenno and is ready for this match. Enjoy the pure mutual love of NOAH Pro Wrestling to the fullest.
Well, I mean, I want to enjoy the pure mutual love of NOAH Pro Wrestling to its fullest, but are they going to give it to us?
Hopefully.
I feel like they're kind of teasing like this is just going to be a straight slobber knocker type match, right?
Yeah, yeah. Which I don't know if that sets off my angle alert, but like I'm going to try and like keep that away unless it actually happens. I'm going to try to just enjoy the match because it's going to ruin it for me otherwise.
Yeah. So we'll see how that is. So the kind of a lot of questions going into the show in terms of attendance and like, are they going to do something stupid to screw up the very good looking matches on the show? So we turn over to All Japan Pro Wrestling for Excite Series on February 23rd at Oda City General Gymnasium in front of 2,237 fans. And Paul, that's actually a pretty good number. Given how many times we've had Kento versus Jun Seto over the last like year or so, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely not a fresh match in the slightest.
Are Rene Abe and Talos adding to this attendance, do you think?
No.
Okay.
Suwama, maybe. I don't think the other three were.
No, I don't think so at this point. So we start off with Ryuki Honda defeating Hokuto Mori in 8:28 with the final vent. Paul, this was a good opener, just straight wrestling, no BS, and it was a lot of fun.
I definitely did raise my like feeling that like Omori might be on the way out.
Yeah,
I mean, he just like, you know, like just gets pinned in the opener on the show. It's just like, I don't know, Like, people are leaving as fact. Like, we've talked about this a couple. We talked about this already. But, like, I don't know. I definitely didn't make me think any less that he's leaving.
Mm-hmm. I was like, are they going to do anything? There was no angle on the show where he comes out and they require two more members to join the Champion Carnival or anything like that. I should add, because I had said that was possible, although they rarely change these lineups as a storyline or anything like that in these tournaments. It is what
I mean.
It is.
No mention of Yuma Aoyagi at all.
No mention of Yuma. Yeah, yeah. And then we had Atsuki Aoyagi, Rising Hayato, Yuma Anzai defeating Ryo Inoue, Kengo Mashimo, and Fuminori Abe in 10-20 with the gimlet from Anzai on Abe. And this was another solid little six-man tag match that really got the show off to a good start.
Yeah, no, this was really good. Like, I'm curious, like, I'm really curious on Anzai's run in the Champion Carnival. I don't really know what it's going to look like until we know what the blocks look like.
Yeah, and we don't know the blocks. They were not revealed on the show. Gaara TV Championship. Kumarashi defeated Daisuke Sekimoto in 13-02 with the diving senton. So Sekimoto fails on his first defense, and Kuma is the 33rd champion of this most illustrious belt. Now, this was a great match.
Yeah.
And I kind of expected it was going to be pretty good. And Kuma really worked hard here. And look, Sekimoto is still good enough that he can deliver a match like this. Quick 13-minute match where they just hit each other really hard and throw each other around. So it was a lot of fun and really good. But, Paul, here's my issue with it. Sekimoto didn't get any defenses of this title in this reign. So what was the point of having Sekimoto beat Ishino? Because you could say Sekimoto is a bigger name than Ishino, but Kumarashi overcoming Ishino to win that TV title would have meant more given the history of both of those guys.
That is actually very true. I hadn't even considered that. I guess maybe it's to, like, if Ishino wasn't going to be in a Champion Carnival, it would have been weirder to leave him out as champion.
Right.
It's like the only reason I can see that. But no, that actually would have been a way better story. Would have been, yeah, Kumarashi overcoming, like, Shotaro Ishino, like his former tag team partner, like his former like stable leader for, like,
they debuted against,
like, they have years of history against you. So yeah, that would have been a way better story. I did like the match though. I love that, like, dueling, like, torture expert. Oh, that was, I'd argue that was the best spot on the entire show.
Excuse me, Paul, this is Japan. They're Argentine backbreakers.
That is true. Yeah, they were. Yes, you're right. They were dueling Argentine backbreakers.
That's a good sign for Kuma. We'll talk about some more later. Rey Seto's return match. Rey Seto, Mr. Seto, Naruki Doi, Senor Seto, and for whatever reason, Makoto Ishii defeated Goshi Ozaki, Shotaro Ishino, Zion, and Odyssey in 11:41 when Rey pinned Zion with the ice bind. Now, Paul, I just think that this makes, like, obviously Rey is upper mid-carder basically, but this does make Havoc look a little weak by losing to the rest of these guys, though.
Yeah, also the guy, like, traditionally with, like, guys losing their return match in Japan as well.
Yeah, so they don't do that anymore. That's a lot less common these days than
that is true. That is true. Because I'm trying to think when, like, the last time that really happened was, but yeah, you might be right that's kind of a thing they quietly dropped. Yeah. I mean, also curious that, like, Zion is the one that took the pin here.
Well, they're clearly protecting Odyssey for reasons of probably the Champion Carnival.
But that's the thing. There's one guy in that team that isn't in the Champion Carnival.
Oh, yes, of course.
You know, well, like,
Well, dare I say that Zion and Rey might be in the same block?
Oh, yeah, so that Zion will get his win back. Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah. Next up in the Zenichi Junior Tag Festival Round 1, Dan Tamura and Hikaru Sato defeated Kota Sekafuda and Toshiyuki Sakuda in 15:48 with the cross-arm breaker from Sato on Sakuda. And Paul, it's just funny because nobody liked this match.
No.
Because it's so funny because they brought out the barbed wire boards, but then Sato gets the win with just an arm breaker, cross arm breaker, and everything like that. It's a shame because I like Sekafuda, and Sakuda is technically a good wrestler, but they decided just to deathmatch it up. in the Honest New, from the Honest New Deathmatch promotion, die instead of having a good wrestling match. So that
I mean, Sekifuda isn't even a deathmatch guy.
No, he's not. But
yeah, again, like it was so weird that they did that, and it didn't really factor into the match really at all.
Yeah.
Was fucking it was a fucking weird ass and match. I don't get what they were trying to boo. Yeah.
Yeah. For all we know, Sato came up with this idea because he could be weird.
Yeah. This felt like very much like a thing Sato came up with. Yeah.
And then another tag festival match. Seki Yoshioka and Yuya Susumu defeated Musashi and Shota Kafuji in 1552 with the Nitin Ichiru from Yoshioka on Musashi. And Paul, we have some good things to say about a match featuring Yuya Susumu.
Yeah, somehow.
Was really good. I thought that Kofuji also stepped up here playing the role of the young guy. And then, of course, you have the whole finish where Yoshioka, which had a great finishing sequence between Yoshioka and Musashi. And Yoshioka wins by using Musashi's move on him. So this dude isn't going anywhere, I suspect, right? So, yeah, this was very good and exceeded my expectations. So I will say, on the whole, if you sort of take into account the deathmatch fart, I have enjoyed this tournament so far.
I also have to say, like, Yuya Susumu, like, I think he was the weakest of the four in the match, but he didn't drag it down. Like, he was fine. Absolutely. Like, and yeah, I think I'm kind of loving the like Yoshioka Musashi feud. Like, I'm still kind of sad that they split that team up because I really enjoyed them. But I think at least, you know, like, I think there's something there. Like, it gives both of them something to do as well. And again, like, I think they're both like showing an edge, which is something this promotion kind of like has been lacking, like, in like recent times. Like, they need guys that show an edge, which I think these two definitely are in this feud. Where they're just constantly shit talking each other as well. And yeah, like beating each other with the other guy's move. Yeah.
This is what like Bane and Wolf versus Bane and Alejandro versus Wolf and Fujimura needs.
Yeah. That's not enough. There's definitely no shit talking in that one. Yeah. It's weird because they're like brothers, so you would think that there would be more hate, but yeah.
Yeah.
And these guys were teaming for like what, like a year, and they're basically treating it like they've been teaming for like 15.
Yeah, they're like great friends or something.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's more in their past. I have to look it up. Because, you know, Yoshioka was like a kind of a freelancer for a bit.
Yeah.
He always worked outside dates when he was in Wrestle One. And wait, he's not even Wrestle One guy. He's a Tajiri guy, right?
Originally. Yeah, he was a Tajiri guy, and then he went to Wrestle One.
Yeah,
and then
so maybe their paths do cross a lot more than I'd have to look it up. But anyway, so semi-main event for the World Tag Team Titles: Ren Ayabe and Talos defeated Suwama and Hideki Suzuki in 1608 with a death roulette from Ayabe on Suzuki to make their second defense of the titles. Paul, I'll say that this was not like a great match, but it certainly wasn't as bad as it could have been, especially given how Suwama and Hideki Suzuki sort of shit the bed as a tag team when they were last together as a tag team, but this was solid enough, and Hideki did the right thing by lying down for the death roulette from Ayabe again. So I'll give this a nice little, like, you know, like thumbs up, like 3.25, 3.5, you know, but like solid. And I think kind of the best you could expect from when you've got Ren and Talos in against these older guys.
I think so far, like, they, like, Titans of Calamity Reign has been solid. Like, again, I'm not expecting like match of the year bangers from them, because that's just not who like either of them is.
Yes.
But like, I just expect their matches to not like be boring, and they haven't been. Like, they've generally been like really good, like solid matches. Like, don't overstay their welcome either. Like, you just, you know, like 16 minutes, I think that's perfect for like a title match. Like, you don't need to go longer than that
especially with these guys.
Exactly. So, like, again, I think they've been booking that perfectly. Also, I just really quickly looked it up, at least in terms of like both of them being in the same match. The first time Musashi and Yoshioka were in the same match was like in 2024. Was like, like both of them teaming with Fuminori Abe on like an All Japan show. And the only time they have been.
they still made it like such a heated feud between them.
Yes, when really they've only been interacting with each other for like basically just exactly like 2 years at this point.
Yeah. And then after the match, Ray came out. And what do you think of that, going right to what everyone was expecting was going to happen?
I thought they would hold off until after the carnival. Like, I mean, I kind of get it, but I don't know. I thought we could have gotten at least like one more like title defense for the Titans, but
oh, so you're like on the like totally like the Saitos are winning.
I mean, like, you don't think they're winning? I think it's
might as well
just go right back to the Saitos.
No, here's what I think: Titans win because it's at this is going to main event Cork and Hall.
Yeah,
have a rematch in like in July when they usually go to Sendai. And that's where the Saitos win.
I mean, you know,
Titans are working. They're not setting the world on fire, but they're working for what they're supposed to be. And I'd keep it on them for a few more months.
And then, yeah, I mean, I can kind of see that. If they do like the big show in Sendai, they need something to put on that. And yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that. Because I hadn't really considered that. Otherwise, I would have just been like, well, I mean, the Saitos are back, so you just go back to them as champions. But yeah, if you want to do that, like if you want to tease it out a little bit more and then do it in Sendai, I think that does make more sense.
Also, because like March will be the last defense until after the carnival.
Yeah.
And maybe by then Yuma Aoyagi will be back and you run business tag versus the Titans. And I honestly want to see what they could get out of them.
Or you do like what the fuck was the like Yuma, the two Yuma like team
called? Oh, yeah, or the two Yumas. I can't even remember.
I just called him Yuma Squared, so I'm just going to go
with that. Yeah.
If they're back, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't really have a good feeling of what the fuck is going on with Yuma Aoyagi right now. Like, are we sure he is actually coming back?
Who really cares? No, I mean, I think, well, it's funny because there was a time where I'm like, okay, obviously Kento is very important. Losing him would fuck them. But there was also a time where it's like losing Yuma would even fuck them longer term.
Yeah.
Now I don't believe
that. He was younger. Yeah, no, because now they have Yuma. They have the under Yuma. Yeah. They have better Yuma.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Although I don't know where he would necessarily go, because he's in that weird position where like he's only a year older than Ozawa. So would Noah push him, or would they just prefer to push their dojo guys? Right.
Yeah.
For all we know, New Japan might need him.
I mean, he is tall enough, right? Like, he's tall enough to go to New Japan.
Yeah.
DDT, maybe.
He would
then he gets to do a bunch of comedy stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So
0-1.
No versus Yuma Aoyagi. Yeah. 0-1. He'd have to be serious in 0-1, though.
Yeah, unless true. That doesn't work.
Unless you'd form a trio with, like, the Kubota brothers.
Oh, God. He would love to do that, but it's probably he tells that to like whoever books 0-1 and they would tell him to fuck off.
Yeah. And then in the main event of the show, Kento Miyahara defeated Jun Saito in 27-32 with the shutdown German suplex to make his fifth defense of the Triple Crown. I thought this was a pretty good match. It's just been overdone and it was also formulaic, but I think Jun is becoming a better singles wrestler, and I said that from like the last couple of matches he had in his Triple Crown reign. And then there was the match against Go that I thought was very good. And I thought he looked very good here. It was just formulaic from Kento's side and we've seen it too much, but it was like a solid enough match. And it did what it needed to do. I don't know, Paul, what did you think?
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. It's like, it kind of almost felt like them playing the hits essentially.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's nobody better at like a closing sequence than Kento Miyahara.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really elevated the match for me still. Like, it was still a good, like, it wasn't a great match. It's not a match that's going to be anywhere near my, like, match of the year list at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But it definitely, it was, you know what? It was better than, like, their, like, the title match they did last year. Or around the same time last year, like early last year.
Yes, right? that one. Yeah, for sure.
This was better than that. Because that again, I think is still like, that was a weirdly bad match.
And they had a better match in the carnival.
Exactly. Yeah. So like that was just a weird one where like, it just seemed like both men were just off the game. And like this definitely wasn't that. This was like a good match, not a great match. And for a little bit in there, like I think it dragged a little bit around the middle, but then the fucking finishing sequence was good enough at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is just like, I think somewhat of a filler defense and somewhat of a like, okay, June's gonna leave the main event single scene for a while now.
Yeah, I mean, if you call this a filler title defense, we'll get to the next title defense.
Well, see, this is funny because I think we might disagree about this. So who comes out but Komurashi carrying the Gaora TV Championship? He challenges and they'll face each other later this month at Tehachioji Arena, which is that arena in like the western edges of Tokyo. Paul, I saw your response in the Voice of Wrestling Discord. Oh, I think we're going to disagree on this. So you go first.
Okay, so what I said, basically, literally the day before, I had called Soya and Kondo challenging Naito and Bushi for like the Noah tag titles, the most like filler title defense possible. And then Komurashi comes out to challenge Kento for the Triple Crown. I was like, okay, no, actually, you know what? This is the most filler title defense possible, because like, to me, a filler title defense is any title defense where the other guy just like doesn't have a fucking lick in hell to like win the match. And to me, this is one of those matches where like, I don't think Komurashi, like the only way Komurashi wins this match is Kento gets injured and they have to call the match and like Komurashi wins. That is, I think, the only way he has a chance to win this title. And that's why to me, this is like I think he literally has like, again, a 0%, like barring an injury, he has a 0% chance to win. I guess you disagree with that, or do you think
the match has a different purpose? I think it's great that they're giving him this chance. They built him up very well over a couple of months, not super long, but a couple of months, which I feel like this company doesn't always do. I somewhat almost want to say, is this go planning things out more carefully? Because the mid-card feels a little more carefully booked. I don't know. What do you get that sort of vibe?
Yeah. No. I mean, it definitely seems like they're putting in more effort there. Yeah. Where like it's not a slapdash. And again, I think there's also like notable like less comedy now than there used to be. Like that than there was this time last year. Like there's still some comedy, but it's not as overwhelming as it was. Which again seems to point that there's somebody else in charge of like booking all of that.
Yeah. So whoever it booked Komurashi did a great job in getting and elevating him, because like, oh, he's getting more and more singles wins and everything like that. And okay, well, he won the title, and I was like, well, I wasn't shocked that he beat Sekimoto. I kind of expected Sekimoto to retain, to be completely honest with you, but I was not like as shocked as I was when he came out to challenge Kento, to be completely honest. So I think it's good that they're just going and getting new guys in there in that main event. That's what they desperately need. So I will take it. Kuma's been working hard. Kento is Kento. I think they're going to have a great match.
It feels weird that I have to be the one that like put some water on like a Komurashi match, because generally I'm like his like biggest defender. But we'll see. I like him, but I've just never seen him as a guy that should be like in the like, you know, like Triple Crown like sphere, basically. Like I was like, oh no, it's perfect for him to like win the Gaora TV title. I think that's like a great idea. That's exactly what he should be doing. I just don't know if like Triple Crown feels just a step too high for him. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe he will like deliver in the match. I'm just not sure if that's really like where he should be, essentially.
I'd also assume on that show or on the Korakuen show, we get the champion carnival blocks and everything like that.
I mean, kind of, because like, when else are we going to get the?
Yeah, exactly. So let's go to previews, because we got a show in All Japan for this Sunday, March 8th. And this is going to be the final New Age Chronicles with the Z final show. I think it's all sold out, actually, which is good. Well, I think it's only Shikibu, but still it's good. So your first match, we have Dan Tamura and Nobuhiko Kimura versus Ryo Inoue and Gaia Hawks, who is now partnerless since Jun Masaoka ran off from Team 2000X.
I'm still baffled that they signed Masaoka instead of Gaia Hawks. I just think Gaia Hawks is just the better guy between them, but I don't know.
Second match, we've got Hokuto Omori versus Jiro Shinbashi.
Yeah, I mean, interesting to like see a Jiro match outside of like Dragon Gate, which I don't think he's done before.
But Hokuto, after having a nice outing against Honda, is back to form.
Okay, Gerard, if he loses to Jiro Shinbashi, will you admit that he's probably leaving the promotion?
Okay, I'll do that.
I feel like that is like a safe bet on your end, but still, I feel like I think that is just such a like 100% side if he literally loses to like the fucking like comedy drama from Dragon Gate.
Yeah. Then the third match for a three-way match, we have Seigo Tachibana versus Shota Kafuji versus Odyssey, and he's gonna stack him, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is all about. Fourth match, special tag match, 20 minutes. Renai Abe and Talos versus Mochizuki Jr. and Kazuma Kimura.
I mean, hey, but again, like, I hope Mochizuki Jr. just, you know, goes through here because he's doing Kimura, fuck all in Dragon Gate. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I want them to win the Hag Festival.
The whole tournament. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the main event, this is basically the six-man tag match of all the big New Age Chronicles guys that they have. Rising Hayato, Rei Sato, and Ryuki Honda versus Atsuki Aoyagi, Jun Sato, and Yuma Anzai. So that should be a good main event. And then we have on March 15th at Corkett Hall in the early slot, that starts 11:30 a.m. Tokyo time, singles match, Shota Kofuji versus Masada. Now, Paul, do you think that Kofuji's still in his young boy jobber stage, or can he beat Masada?
If he has chance of beating anybody, it's Masada, right?
Yeah.
Because it's not even... Okay, who actually would he be more likely to beat? Would it be Masada or completely entirely unrelated wrestler Senior Saito?
Actually, it would be Senior Saito.
That's the thing, right? Like, I feel like he has a better chance of beating Senior Saito than Masada.
That's true, yes. So we'll see about that then. And then, this is not in order. This is just listed on the site. So Triple Crown preliminary six-man tag match. Kento Miyahara, Ryuki Honda, and Yuma Anzai versus Kumo Rashi, Daisuke Sakamoto, and Seigo Tachibana. That could be a banger. It's a good preview match. We've got an eight-man tag match that I don't know how this is going to go. Paul, have you seen this card? Because you're not going to like this.
No, what's the match?
So we got Goshi Ozaki, Shotaro Ueno, Zion and Odyssey versus Hokuto Omori, Naruki Doi, Kota Sekafuda, and Toshiyuki Sakuda.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Who the fuck booked this match?
So we have the semifinals of the Zenichi Junior Tag Festival. Atsuki Aoyagi versus Rising Hayato versus Atsuki Aoyagi and Rising Hayato versus Seki Yoshioka and Yuya Susumu. Paul, I feel like Yoshioka feels like he's got some momentum, but I think getting that big win over Musashi with Musashi's own finisher, that's good enough for this tournament. I would have
your
aces go over here.
No, absolutely. Like, Yuya Susumu is eating the pin in this match.
Yes.
I don't even know which of them is pinning him, but like, he's definitely getting pinned.
Yeah. And then in the other semifinal, got Dan Tamer and Hikaru Sato versus Ryo Inoue and Mochizuki Jr. Hopefully everyone brings their seriousness because this could be a good match. And I've already said I've made it known who I want to win here. I mean, sending Dan and Sato to like the finals of this tournament again, like it felt like they were like a team that did stuff like a few years ago now.
You know? You can't rule it out though, like especially because they just reformed Evolution.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Pin Sato or here, I think.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing with, like, I think that's also, like, last time they were relevant, Sato was a lot better than he is now.
Yeah. Yeah, Sato's, like, going to be 46 this year.
Time oh, God. Jesus, yeah. No.
Yeah. So, we'll see about that. I'm not, like, I put money on Inoue and Mochi Jr. here. Like, I can't do that. But I really
It's Inoue, right? Like, that's the problem here. Like, if it was just Mochi Jr. teaming with somebody else, I would definitely be like, oh, that they're going to the finals. But like,
you can't rule out Inoue getting pinned.
Yeah,
you got a lot of Dragon Gate guys on these two shows coming up too. So I feel like,
I mean, that definitely seems like a strong, like, again, not to harp on like something I said earlier, that makes like Team 2000X coming in even weirder, because Noah is not the promotion that Dragon Gate currently has a close relationship with.
Yeah.
It's All Japan, but yeah. I don't know. Like, it's actually interesting with, sorry, just real quick as well on that, because with the whole Carnival thing and me saying like last time that I think Ikuta has a chance, because he's going to lose the like Dream Gate to Yoshioka. Well, it turns out he didn't lose the Dream Gate to Yoshioka.
Oh!
So he's going to go into the Carnival as champion, which I think basically rules him out as the winner, but also makes it really fucking complicated, like, because he can't really take that many pins. So
he's either going to the finals or he's like going to be eliminated on the last night.
Yeah.
Sending him to the finals is not a bad idea, in all honest.
No.
I mean, what if finals? Go versus Kakuto. Like, that would be a...
Actually, you know what? Both are like... Now I can definitely... Because both are Lariat guys.
Yeah.
And that's like a super fresh match as well.
Yeah. Oh, God, it'd be amazing.
So, yeah. But yeah, he basically... My whole idea of him winning and then winning the Triple Crown is out the fucking window, because he didn't lose the belt to the guy they very obviously built up for him to lose the belt to. So again, Dragon Gate booking is like, doesn't make any fucking sense.
And then the main event for the World Tag Team Championship, Ren, Ayabe, and Taos, the Titans of Calamity, defend their titles for the third time against the Seto brothers, Jun Seto and Rei Seto. We already said this. I don't know. I mean, look, I would not be shocked at all if Jun and Rei win the titles here, but I just think you could string this along a little longer, especially with the Carnival coming up. Just have them retain and then have the Setos win in Sendai later in the summer.
Yeah. No, I mean, again, like, I was fully on the train of like, Saito's just going to win it back, but like, you've really talked me into like, it makes more sense to hold off until Sendai, because it's like, otherwise you just have like a Saito like title defense on that, which probably might still draw well, but like having the draw be like, oh, they're finally going to win back those belts, I think it's a much better draw for them to do in Sendai.
And
especially since they haven't held the belts in like a bit now. So
yeah,
not long, but like it by their standards, it's been a while.
Yeah. So, Paul, this, I was like, what is the show going to do? But, Paul, the pre-sales are looking pretty good. We got there's five sections. And we got the premium seats and the special ringsides both sold out. And then all the other sections are in the triangle on Lawson.
So, Kuma Arashi confirmed a bigger draw than Yoshiki Inamura?
No, this is the Titans of Calamity, a bigger draw than Yoshiki.
Oh, okay, sorry. Oh, yeah, it's that match. Yeah, okay, never mind.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, to be fair, that is a Korakuen, though, so it's a smaller building.
Yeah. But they'll break 1,000 when you have that kind of pre-sales, no problem.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. No. They might sell it out. The Saitos are still over.
Oh, I don't know if they're going to sell it out, but 12 or 1,300 easily.
Yeah.
And then we go to March 20th. And I was also concerned because this is the bigger show technically with the Triple Crown. So I wasn't going to sure if that was going to cannibalize it, even though it's way, way, way on the other edge of Tokyo. So we only have four matches announced for this show. So we got the Triple Crown match, Kento Miyahara versus Kuma Arashi. And we both let it be known how we both feel about that. But then, Paul, we have two Titans of Calamities versus the Saito brothers singles matches, which when I saw this was like, ooh, it feels like this feud might be getting strung out a little longer, don't you think?
Yeah, no, I think that definitely would be an indicator that it is actually being strung out a bit more. That is true.
So we have Talos versus Jun Saito and Ren Ayabe versus Rei Saito, which I probably think is the most ideal way to distribute this.
Split them up. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then, of course, we have the junior tag finals, Go, Mochizuki, and Inoue on that show. And let's just do a quick ticket look because I haven't done this yet. This is the 320 show. So six sections, and all of them are triangled. So I think that's not bad.
Yeah.
Because they have more expensive than usual premium seats. Usually the premium seats are like one or 12,000, 15,000 yen. The premium seats for this show are 20,000.
And you're still 2 weeks out from the show as well.
Yeah. So that's not bad, I would say.
Yeah.
And
I mean, will this like, I mean, I was joking, like saying this, but like, will this actually outsell the like Noah, like Yokohama show?
It's possible if they have a hot Korakin that builds it up.
Yeah, because again, they still have two more weeks to sell tickets for that show, whereas Noah needs like a big uptake in like four days.
Right, and they haven't done the final angles going into the show.
Yeah.
And then the very next day on March 21st, they are in Gunma at Anaka Shinkumi Sports Center. And this is the Yuma Anzai homecoming show.
Is it advertised as such?
Yeah, he's on the poster. It's just him.
Okay.
And what I assume is going to be the main event, because there's only two matches here listed, we have Yuma Anzai, Ryuki Honda, and Atsuki Aoyagi versus Kento Miyahara, Hideki Suzuki, and Rising Hayato. So I think that's going to be really good. They'll get at least 15. Saito Brothers versus Havoc, which could also mean that Go and Shotaro Ishino or Zion and Odyssey are going to challenge them next too as well. You never know. If Saito win the tag titles.
Yeah.
So Jun Saito, Rei Saito, and Senor Saito, and Makoto Oishi, because maybe Naruki Doi is on a Dragon Gate show that day, versus Go, Shotaro Ishino, Zion, and Odyssey. And that's all that's been announced for that Gunma show. But, I mean, the main event of that show, I think, will be pretty good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm looking at the ticket sales for the Gunma show, and it looks like six sections, the top four are X'd out, and then, like, the, you know, the bleachers, nosebleeds are triangled. So Anzai's a draw in Gunma.
Yeah. I mean, also notable that like Atsuki and like Rising Hayato are on like opposite sides. Like that would indicate to me that like they're not winning the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, because like I would assume whoever wins is also going to win the belts.
Yeah. Well, we don't know when that's going to happen though.
That's true. Yeah. But then I don't know. Like at the very latest, I would say like they're like opener of the carnival.
Yeah.
That's like the latest I would put on that.
Well,
but then again,
Do you think it could be in Dragon Gate, though, because it's going to be father versus son, possibly?
That's true as well. When is the big, like, when is the cage match show? Let me double check on that, actually, real quick. I mean, the thing is, like, the next big Dragon Gate show is not until the 26th, though, of April.
Mm. Oh, okay.
I don't know if they have a Korakuen before that. Probably they have a Korakuen before that. But like the whole, like, you know, like cage match, like show and everything, that's on the 26th of April.
Mm-hmm.
Which, wait a minute, isn't that in like, doesn't that yet? Yeah, wait a minute, because we had that problem last year where like Kikuta is in that match. Kikuta is in the cage match yet again. We had that problem last year where like, remember where he basically turned heel halfway through the carnival?
Oh, that's right. Yes, I forgot about that.
So, like, that's the case this year again, where he's in that cage match yet again. So, I don't know. Like, maybe there is a chance he'll get his head shaved. I think it's unlikely, but it's possible.
Yeah. We'll see what happens again. More crazy booking with Dragon Gate booking that's affecting All Japan. Maybe we'll see.
Yeah. And then, he will still be Dream Gate champion. Like, I don't think he has any title defenses before that.
Yeah.
Before the tournament starts.
And so we're just on a attendance or the ticket buying kick. First night of the carnival is moving well. The premium seats are sold out. There's a couple of triangles up already in some of the other sections. So I think that will do well because we're still over a month away from that.
Which, like, honestly, that's a really good sign because historically that show has sold like shit.
Yeah.
Right, like weirdly, the like opening night of the carnival has not sold well for like years at this point. Like, because I remember people always freak out where it's like, because it's like when a lot of people pay attention to All Japan, it's like the opening night of the carnival.
Yeah, I mean,
for some reason, they draw a bad number.
Could also be a case that the card is not spectacular when they finally announce it, and then no one else buys the tickets in advance.
there's no walk up. Yeah, that might be the thing as well.
Yeah, that could also happen. But it's very popular. Like, they want to stack the good. They could probably do well if they can stack that first night, I think. So that is it. I think that I am getting a little frustrated with Noah, but I am looking forward to Inamura versus Kenno. And I am cautiously optimistic in All Japan's direction. I guess that's how I'd sum up my feelings on everything.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely am enjoying like Kento's reign. So
yeah,
I think again, I think for me, it very highly depends how the like carnival blocks
for sure
shake out, you know, because just looking at that roster, I don't know, like, I think there is a way to get to two good blocks, even with like the like lineup, but it could also very well be that they just stack one block and we get one really, really, really bad block. But yeah, let's see which way they go for that.
All right, then. So we'll be back soon, probably to obviously talk about this big Noah show. And then we've got some All Japan stuff to tide us over. So things are moving again and we can get to a fairly regular schedule of every other week, I think, for the next little while, because then we got the shows in March. And of course, the Champion Carnival starts. So there'll be plenty to talk about. So until then, enjoy all the wrestling out there. Bye.
Wrestling Omakase brings you a full course meal of all of Japanese wrestling, men's and women's. Join me, a Japanese wrestling fan for over 20 years, along with a rotating cast of equally knowledgeable co-hosts, as we cover everything from New Japan and Stardom to NOAH, All Japan, DDT, Tokyo Joshi, Marigold, Sendai Girls, Dragon Gate, Glate, Ice Ribbon, and even more stuff. If you're a fan of Japanese wrestling and you want coverage of the entire scene in one podcast, check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network each and every week. Get us wherever you get podcasts today.